Thank you to our guest musician this morning and also next week, Janet Schneider. Thank you for being here, Janet. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to God's word in the scriptures this morning. And we'll begin with the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 3, verse 31 and following. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to Jesus and called him. A crowd was sitting around Jesus, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And Jesus replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." And then from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Peter began to say to Jesus, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And then from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour on, the disciple took Mary into his own home. May God bless these words to our hearts, our minds, our living, our being, and all our doing. Not so long ago in the Hartford Current, there was an article about a big house in the West End on Scarborough Street. The house was occupied by quite a group of people. There were two couples with three children between them and four other adults in some other relationship that I've forgotten, but a total, I think, of eight adults and three children, 11 people. They could afford the house. They could afford the taxes, the mortgage, the utilities, the upkeep, the maintenance, the renovations that they wanted to do. They had everything worked out to how to get the chores done together, how to make sure the three children got to school and got their homework done, and it was right near work, at least for some of the adults. They liked the home. They considered themselves a family. And then a legal document arrived, either from planning and zoning in Hartford or from the city council in Hartford. It seems that some neighbors up in the West End had complained. And the zoning requirements in the West End say that to own a home there, beyond a certain number of people in the house, one, the group must be related by legal ties or blood ties. That's how the zoning requirements defined family. And of course, they were over that number. The interesting thing is the zoning requirements in the West End are so antiquated, it allows a huge number of servants to be in the home without question. That's how antiquated the zoning is. The last I knew and had read, the whole thing was in the hands of lawyers and the city of Hartford, and I don't know whether it's been resolved or not. But I wondered when I read it if the city might be interested in what Jesus had to say about family. Jesus is gathered with a group of people inside, sitting, teaching, dialoguing, and word comes in to Jesus, "Your mother, your brothers, and your sisters are outside asking for you." Everyone there expected Jesus to get up and go out to his mother, his brothers, and his sisters. because it was the appropriate thing to do in that culture, and because Jesus was the oldest of Mary's children, and Mary was a widow at that point, Jesus had an obligation to go and find out how his mother was, what she needed. Jesus surprises everyone, which is not the only time in the gospel he surprises everyone. He stays put right where he is, and he says, "Who is my mother, my brothers, my sisters?" Or as I like to interpret it, "Who is my family?" And then maybe with a sweep of his arm around the group, he said, "Here are my mother, my brothers and sisters. Here is my family. Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brothers, my sisters, my family." Who is our family? Jesus challenges us with that question. Who is our family? Can we expand our view, our definition of family, beyond those related by blood ties or by legal ties? Jesus pushes us and prods us without question. Some years ago, Sue met a couple in Massachusetts. Even though Sue's from Connecticut, through a mutual friend, she met a couple and their children in Massachusetts. The mutual friend dropped out of sight, but Sue stayed in connection with this family, and they continued to be in touch. And eventually, Phyllis and Lee moved down here with just their youngest daughter to Connecticut for a business opportunity, and Sue was right there to greet them and help them move in. When I came into the picture, Phyllis and Lee just welcomed me into the family, which was easy because Lee played cribbage and he was a train enthusiast, so we had some things in common. Phyllis and Lee eventually moved to New Hampshire for retirement, but because Lee thought nothing of getting in a car and driving anywhere at the drop of a hat, they continued to stay in touch, we continued to stay in touch, and Phyllis and Lee deeply touched our lives when they drove to come to the funeral service for my dad, for Sue's dad, for my mom, and for Sue's mom. We really appreciated and needed their support at that point. About 12 years ago, Phyllis Lee had an accident with his car, which was unusual for him, and they decided it was time to come back to Connecticut to be near a family, and their oldest daughter in outside of Boston, a daughter in Groton, and a son in West Hartford. So they moved down to Covenant Village in Cromwell, and we were there to greet them and help them move in. When Lee died about 6 months later, I did Lee's funeral at Phyllis's request. And we have stayed in touch with Phyllis all these years. And going down there, having Phyllis to our house, being invited to family things, we were number 4 on Phyllis's speed dial behind her 3 children. And sometimes we would end up with Phyllis for holidays, especially somehow Mother's Day, because no one else in the family had her, so we would have Phyllis and take her out or have her at our house or whatever. About 3 months ago, Phyllis' oldest daughter called us one evening and said, "Mom fell in her independent living apartment down in Covenant Village. She's in the emergency room at Middlesex Hospital." Carol said, "I can't get down. I have my grandchildren, and I have to wait for my daughter to come home, and Janet's an hour away in Groton, and Ken doesn't do well in hospital." So we went down to Middlesex and spent some time with Phyllis. When a doctor came in, he looked at us, he said, "Are you family or friends?" And I said, "Some of both." And he gave me a look that told me he needed to read that passage from the Gospel of Mark. When it came time to sign Phyllis out, and she went back to the nursing home at Covenant Village, the nurse just handed Sue the paperwork and Sue signed it. Phyllis is a very special person. She is our family and she will tell you that about us, and we value that. One time we were down there for dinner at Covenant Village and somebody who knew Phyllis and knows us came up and was talking, and I've forgotten what he said, but I said, "Hey, Phyllis is the only mother we have. We're glad to be here." And that's how we feel about Phyllis. There are other relationships that I could go on and tell you who really are part of my family. At one point, about 15 years ago or so, I did some journaling. And one of the things I journaled at the end of that journaling was this question of Jesus's: who is my family? I started with Sue and Mitzi, the cat we had then. And then when I looked back at the rest of the list, I realized I had almost no one whom the city of Hartford would have liked. There was no one there with blood ties or legal ties, but everyone that I could list was family to me in some way. Maybe I couldn't put a name on the relationship, but they were family. They had deeply touched my lives. I was glad to have them involved in my life. Absolutely. Who is my your family? Who is our family? Asked Jesus. Jesus wants us to grapple with. Whoever God brings into my life, whoever's life God brings me into, whoever's table God brings me around, whoever God brings around our table, whoever shares God's love and forgiveness with me, whoever I share God's love and forgiveness with, who is my family? How do we respond to that? The next passage from the Gospel of Mark, Peter comes up to Jesus. Peter never fails in the Gospel to have something to say. Most of the time he'd say it and he'd put his foot in his mouth. And I think that was the hardest thing for Peter with Jesus' death. He didn't have Jesus there anymore to keep watch over what he said and to help him keep from saying the wrong thing. This time Peter says, Jesus, look at all we've given up to follow you. And Jesus cuts Peter right off. He doesn't let him go on. And he agrees with him. He says, yes, you have given up a lot to follow me. You have given up mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and families and children and fields and homes. Some of that was literally true because they were off, in one sense, because they were all off on the road, that none of them were home. But in another sense, because following Jesus in that day and age could be very divisive. And there were some families who said to those who followed, if you want to go follow Jesus, you're out of the family. And Jesus then continues and says, whoever follows me will receive 100-fold mothers and brothers and sisters and children and homes and families. Now, does Jesus mean it's going to be literally like the fishes and loaves? We're all going to be surrounded with 100 mothers and brothers and sisters. I think more likely that's how Jesus is calling the community of faith that followed him, which wasn't very large at that point. He was calling that community of faith to be a family to each other, to replace those family relationships, to nurture one another, to care about one another, to love one another, to forgive one another, to support one another, to guide one another, to challenge one another, to be there for one another, to share gifts and talents and skills together with one another, to be a family together. And if we follow that group around Jesus, especially through Holy Week, we find they really learned and grew in what it was to be a family. Jesus, from the cross, at the most painful point of his life, reaffirms this question, who is my family? He sees Mary there, his mother, his heartbroken mother, and John, the youngest of the disciples there. And he turns, and in a voice that probably could hardly be heard because he could breathe out, but he could breathe in, but he couldn't breathe out the way he was hung on the cross. Jesus says, Mary, behold your son. John, behold your mother. Now there's one practical thing in this. Jesus knew he could no longer be Mary's oldest son and take care of her the way he should have. So he passes that care off to John. But in another sense, he calls the church to be that family together. Who is my family? How are you going to be family? And that small faith community around Jesus in that time of Holy Week from Maundy Thursday on really had to grapple with that. There was so much that happened that they weren't ready for. The meal in the upper room and the words, this is my body, this is my blood. The betrayal and the arrest in the garden, the trial before the high priest and Peter put his foot in his mouth again and betrayed Jesus, the trial before Pilate, the beating, the crucifixion, and literally most of the followers ran away from that. They hid. It was only the women and John there and maybe a couple of others, but most of them hid. And most, they all stayed hidden until Easter Sunday when the women went out and they encountered, as we said in the children's message, the angel and the risen and living Christ, and their lives were changed. But they still weren't sure. Jesus ascended and said, go back, wait in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the last place they wanted to go. Most of them weren't from Jerusalem. It was the city where Jesus had been crucified, and they were afraid they'd be next. But they went back, and they waited together as a group of 100-something people. They waited in prayer, and they waited as a family. They cared for one another. They supported one another. They encouraged one another, forgave one another, loved one another, shared their gifts and talents together. They were a family together. And 50 days after Easter, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on a sound like the rush of a mighty wind and tongues of flame, and Peter preached that great Pentecost sermon, some 3,000 people responded and said, we want to be Christians. We want to follow Jesus. And they didn't say, okay, go home and come back next week. They somehow kept that group there. How, I don't know. They didn't have any building to do it in. But they kept that group there. And they were together, and they explored what it meant to be followers of Jesus, what it meant to be a family together in worship, in prayer, in listening to the apostles teaching them what it meant to be followers of Jesus, and in breaking bread together around a table for a common meal, and of course, the bread and cup of communion. Who is my family? How does the church be family? To those who are here, to those who come in, how do we follow Jesus' call to be family together? One of the interims I had was a woman who was one of the two part-time custodial staff at the church. And if I was in the office when BJ would come in, she would come into my office and she'd say, hey, Bob, how you doing? How were your visits? How are people in the church? She was always interested in what was going on in the church. Always good. I could ask her to do things and would get a very positive response. One night, as I was leaving a meeting at the church, I had a call. The phone rang, and it was somebody telling me that someone in the church had died. And before I left to go to the house, I called BJ, and I said, hey, just a heads up. You're probably going to have to get the sanctuary ready for a funeral, and I'll call you tomorrow morning. By the time I get back to the parsonage, where I stayed part of the week, I said, it'd be too late. By the time I got back to the parsonage, it was almost 10 o'clock, and my head was racing. I got to do this, write this down, call this one, call that one. And the phone rang as I walked in the parsonage door, and it was BJ. And she said, Bob, before I could say a word, she said, Bob, are you okay? How are you? Wow, what a gift. Most people expect the pastor to be okay for anything. When I left there, I said to BJ, thank you for being the sister I never had. Unfortunately, time and space have taken us apart, and I really haven't been in touch with her. But I valued her time there. It was more than just being a custodial and pastor. I really felt supportiveness and caring from her. The journaling I did all those years ago about who is my family, if I went back to that list now, it's different. Some people have died. Some have moved away. Some we've just naturally fallen out of touch with. But in God's grace, other people have come on that list. If I took the time and told you about some of them, we'd be here the rest of the day, so I won't. But they are people who've come on that list, who have blessed my life, who have blessed Sue's life, who have really been very special family to us. Who is your family? How open are you to that, to the people God brings into your life, the people that God brings you into their life? How open are you to that? And how is the church family? How is the church a family? How does the church welcome people, greet people, encourage people, nurture people, love and forgive people, share with people? How does the church be a family? How do we do that? In this broken, hurting, torn apart, hate-filled, angry, violent world of ours, may we explore this question of Jesus. And somehow, as we explore both individually and as a church family, who is my family? May we begin to show forth to our broken, hurting world something of God's hope for us, that God has created us not to be a human race in competition for wealth, power, and resources, which only divides and harms, but that God has created us to be a human family. A human family created in diversity and difference, but a human family that can discover that as we share those diverse and different skills, we supplement and complement one another. By the presence and power of the Spirit and in Jesus' name, may we help draw our world just a little bit every day closer to this vision of God. Amen.